Welcome to episode number 3 of Change of Plans podcast. I am Joe Aguirre. He is Vin Provenzano. And Vin, first couple episodes in the books. So far, so good. I think we're all right. I think we've settled into a pretty good
routine
here. We know what we're doing. I've been pretty impressed with that. We've both kind of shared our backstory a little bit. Although it's funny because I actually do have another story, but I don't want to tell it in this episode. But
You're teasing it. You're just teasing it out there. I like that.
I'm a radio guy. That's what we do. We're always just teasing things. But I do have a fascinating story that was not relationship based. Actually tested my relationship. Not like it sounds, but I'll tell that story at some point. And it's an interesting one. And I think it's one that people will be able to relate to, put it to you like that. But this episode is about friendships.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the most overlooked things for a lot of guys. And we were talking before the show here about, you see those TikTok videos where, you know, guys don't have someone, generally speaking, that they rely on, that they, you know, spill the beans to. Women do that. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to kind of get into kind of why we put ourselves in that situation. We're going to kind of break down the friend groups. You know, you said this just a few minutes ago, and I thought it was brilliant, but there's limited amount of space in
your
house. I think that was brilliant.
I listen to a bunch of podcasts, TikToks, all this stuff. Some of the TikToks I can't repeat on here, but I think, you know, and I just wanted to point out, I changed my moniker back to my name. You know, I didn't want to be the man, the myth, the legend. You know, I figured, you know, that might be a little too presumptuous for like 3 episodes in. So, you know, but I think for guys like us that have very limited time in life, meaning that we're not going to die anytime soon, knock on wood, you know, let's hope not. But just in our day, there's 24 hours in a day. You're working a bunch of jobs, a bunch of shifts at the radio station, doing the podcast, doing the school. I'm running around with the lawyer stuff, trying to get this business up and running, dog rescue, kids and stuff like that. And, you know, we look around and we're like, oh man, I didn't talk to this guy. I didn't talk to this person. You know, where are my friends? Or you get that text message that you don't respond to. And, you know, so I was thinking in the terms of a house, and I heard this from someone else, and I thought it was a great concept. So we all have our house, right? And, you know, the main parts of the house are your windows, doors, and floors, right? And so we all have different groups of friends, and I think we're afraid to identify what type of friend X person is, right? Because we can't all be best friends. We can't all be, this is my good friend, he's my bestest friend ever. I mean, I think there's a bunch of research done where it's like, if you spent 40 hours with a person, right? Like me and you, Joe, if we spent 40 hours together, you know, we're a casual friend, right? You spend 100 hours with someone, that is a friend. And your best friend is going to be 200 plus hours, right? And you only have so much hours in a day. So, you know, for example, you'll have your window friends, right? And this is what I love about this house concept. You have your window friends. Those are the friends that are looking into your life, right? They see what's going on, but they don't know what's really going on in your life. They see it from afar. Those are your friends, like on Facebook, you hear the happy birthday wishes on your post, on your wall. And then like clockwork on October 19, 2025 or 24, they're going to be on the wall again, which I appreciate, right? You appreciate that people are taking the time out to wish you that Merry Christmas. But those are kind of your window friends, but it's okay to have those friends, right? You'll get some people who say, why do people bother? But remember, you could only fit so many people in your house. Right. Like, and that's kind of the concept of it, where you have, you know, your friends that we call them the door friends, right? Depending on the weather, depending on the temperature, they're in your life and they come out of your life. They go back into your life, right? It's like a revolving door. And it's not, you know, people are like, well, they're never always here for me. They only hear for me sometimes. But once again, you got to go back to maybe they weren't equipped to be helpful in that situation, right? But the situations they were with you in, they were equipped to deal with that. It's kind of like different seasons, right? Sometimes they have the clothes to deal with that season and sometimes they don't. But once again, you can't fit everybody in your house. And the ones that are your floor, those are your friends. Those are your ride or dies, right? No matter what happens, your foundation is there. You know, you can walk across your floor in muddy shoes and those friends are eating that fucking mud, right? Like, yeah. And so I think it's important to have those discussions and kind of almost do an audit of your friend. Like, what are your friends, right? Like, go to home, write a list of, you know, I'm friends with Bob, Jeff, like whoever it is, and kind of put them into those categories, right? Because then now you know what you're dealing with. Because I can tell you, I'm the first offender. Someone may text me, you know, that I haven't talked to in months, and I'm like, oh, I'll get to it, right? Like, but then I'm too busy, right? So now I'm that window friend, and then I feel bad that I'm not the 200-hour friend, yeah. Right? But it's okay to be that window friend sometimes, you know. So I think we all have those people in life, and you can't, you know, I think we tend to get mad, right? Especially guys, right? Like you said, like the girls have their buddies, their wine friends, like I'm going to go talk all my problems to. And it's sometimes it's, you know, we want to call this person, this guy, and he's like, I'm too busy or I'm working or no, what, you don't want to go out for a drink. You just want to talk, forget about it. Right. Like we don't have that, right. But we probably do. We just don't know which one of them to call, like, you know who your floor is. Know who the doors are, know who the windows are, right? Because now you can maximize your time, your limited time already, to spend it with those floor people, right? You know, and sometimes you need those door people. And if you're able to identify, okay, for example, Dave's a door friend, right? But I know he was great in this particular situation. I'm in this situation again. You know what? I'm going to call Dave. You know what? And that might be a situation where your floor friend, Frank, who's always there, but he didn't deal with it the same way Dave did. So, I mean, I think if you're identifying those things, I think that helps you kind of navigate your life a little bit, especially in situations where you need that ear, you need that. And sometimes you just need that person to send you a text, hey, hope all is well, right? Send back, hey, was just thinking about you, hope your family's well. And the conversation can end there. And that's fine because that's your relationship, you know? So I think, you know, I was listening a lot about that this week, and it really kind of hit home because my time is limited and I'm always feeling bad because I'm not hanging around with X, Y, and Z. I don't have time for this friend, or, you know, why does this person not want to hang out so much? And you know what? It's okay. You know, so I thought it was a kind of cool concept to kind of spin off of today. Especially in this day and age where you know, everyone's maximizing. I got 1 million followers on Instagram. I got 300 friends on Facebook, right? But that we use that word friend like so loosely.
Oh, like, so like, devalued at this point.
It is, right? Like it's, if you really look at that 40 hours, 100 hours and 200 hours, and then go through your Rolodex of people, you know how many casual acquaintances, like, you know their name, but they're not your friend, which is fine. It's okay to say, hey, yeah, I know Dave, good dude, you know, but he's not my friend, right? Like, you don't gotta go tell people that, because then you're kind of a dick, right? You're like,
you're like, I know motherfucker. He's not my friend.
This guy's not my fucking friend. But like, in your head, you can be like, okay, you know, that he is what he is for me, right? And I think we have devalued that. And you know, just to know your thoughts on that. I mean, especially coming from the social media, like we didn't grow up with this stuff, right? Like when we had friends, it's like, I'm going to hang out with Jeff and Dave down the street. Like we had like actual, like human being, like I could touch my friend, like a poke him in his fucking head. Like right now, like, right. Like you just smacked a kid. Now, like you got to like someone's photo and hope they accept you as a friend. And then all of a sudden you're friends.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I knew this kid in high school. He was a couple years behind me, and he was like, he was best friends with my girlfriend's brother. And so I kind of knew him casually, and I thought he was an idiot. He was, you know, a little bit younger and did a lot of stupid stuff, right? We were friends on Facebook, and he kid comments on my stuff a lot. It's been going on for years. Huge Yankees fan. I do a Yankees podcast. He's always watching it, chiming in. We've been going to games together. literally get on the train, go to the Bronx. And it's an interesting relationship. Like at one point I looked at him, we were at a game a couple of years ago, and I looked at him. I go, dude, if you would have told me 20 years ago that you and I would go on a train ride together to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
I never would have believed it. I have another guy I went to grade school with for about 3 years. And I've run into this guy just around the way. He does IT, and I've run into him at some events, handful of times, friends on Facebook, another huge baseball fan. A guy who I liked, didn't know him that well, didn't know him for that long. So, you know, it's to say there's a lot of those window people, you know? And those are good. And there's some value in those. I really think there's some good value in those. And then looking at the door people, you know, again, it's the window shrinks on that. You know, it's like a lot less people are that kind of friend. But the foundation people, man, those are the important ones. 'Cause those are the ones, you know, when you really need somebody. Put it like this. My brothers, I have two brothers, one older, one younger. We've never really all been super tight. Okay.
Yep.
Really fickle relationship with those guys. And I mean, they're my brothers. I love them, but never been able to rely on them. And I have like an inner group of best friends that I've been hanging out with since my divorce in 2008. Met this team of softball guys. We don't even play softball anymore, but there's four guys in that group that if I called them right now, they all live in Wallingford. I live in Weatherfield. They would be here in 40 minutes. If I called them up and was like, hey, I need you, 40 minutes later, they'd be ringing my doorbell. And those are the friends I obviously value the most.
Yeah.
And like, those are like, I always say the brothers I chose.
Yeah, they're your floor friends, like, and just like how you as it dwindles down, I like to compare it to, you know, like not so much in American currency, but in a lot of foreign currencies, like the bigger the coin, the less the value, right? Like you'll see these coins, and you're like, oh my god, that like it looks like a quarter compared to a dime, but that dime is worth more,
yeah,
right? Like your circle of friends, the society judges you on how big your circle is. But that doesn't give you the value of that friendship, right? So the higher your value, usually the smaller the group of friends that zone is, right? Because, you can't give 100% of yourself to 100 friends. You can give 100% of yourself to 4 friends. You know, like I always, I tell my stepson that if you got a handful of friends at the end of the day, if you're 40, 45 years old and you got 4 or 5 dudes you could call up at 3 in the morning. I mean, my friends aren't going to get up at 3 in the morning. I don't care if they're fucking floorboards, right? I think they tap me off at like 11 p.m. I saw some shit on TikTok. This guy's like, if I call my friends at 3 in the morning, they're fucking grabbing their guns and shoveling. They know we got to bury a body. And I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to be that friend, right? Like that's never going to be that. You're going to call me, be like, we got to bury a body. I'm calling the cops. Like, motherfucker. Yeah. So if any of my friends are going to watch this podcast and think I'm that guy who's going to come bury a body, just scroll right past my fucking name on your cell phone.
You're an officer of the court. You really can't do that.
I mean, I don't give a fuck if I was working at Ocean State Job Lot, bro.
I'm still not doing it.
I'm not fucking burying a body, dude. I'm not built for that shit. I will always be a door friend then. Listen, I'm there sometimes, just not when you're burying bodies, right?
This is helpful for all your for all the people that think you're the foundation. They know full well now.
Nah, I'm a door. Like, dude,
I'm in serious trouble here, Vin. And you're like, don't tell me anything more. I don't want to.
Nah, I'm a fucking door. I don't know if I'm ever going to be a floorboard. I might be one of those ones you can kind of move around a little bit like a mat. I'll be a mat. But I think it's okay to have those conversations. And, you know, I have If I look back at, like, when I was going through my divorce, I had a certain set of friends, right? Get together, God night, every Wednesday, cigar, fire pit. And shit, I haven't done that in like 2 years. And I'm not angry about it because it was what I needed at the time.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, they, totally. It was, and it's okay to accept that. It doesn't always have to be, you know, we're the best of friends. And then you have those friends where I know I haven't seen, I have a friend I haven't seen in 3 years. I know if we ran into each other, we just hit it off. Right. Like, yep. But it's being okay with where you're at in your social circle, not comparing the two. I think I used to be that person that would try to force the friendship. Right. But I think you have to learn that, you know, people are going to want to make time for you who want to be with you.
Yes,
right. Exactly. And if someone says, hey, I'm too busy, I got too busy, couldn't call you back, don't force the issue. They're probably telling you the truth, to be honest with you. Right. Like, you know, don't make time. Don't make them the priority when you're the option. And I think that's always something I struggle with because I'm a social butterfly. I love being around fucking people. Like, I don't like being by myself. I could go run around, do what I need to do like by myself, but I like being around people. So it's like, I used to pick up the phone. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And then, you know, people will be too busy and I'm just as guilty of it. I might be the worst offender of all of them because I have friends that, you know, reach out to me just to check on me. And it's fucking 3 days later, I text them like a douchebag. And, you know, like, listen, I might be that door guy. I might be that window guy. And I don't want to be. I don't think anyone intentionally wants to be that friend. But that goes back to, it's okay to say, hey, you know what, with this person, this is our relationship. And to acknowledge that, I think it helps me like have a smoother, more fulfilling life because now like I don't feel bad about that. And I know these are the four or five that I know I'm going to make a priority because they're making me a priority. Right. Like, you know, and so if I have an hour on the weekend, I don't have to worry about which 15, 20 friends I'm going to call, right? I know I can call X, Y, and Z and text these other 15 and say, hey, hope all is well, and we're good. You know, and I think that helps, right? And I think that you're not focused on the superficial relationships, right? Like the ones that you could just have fun with, right? Those are, you have your fun friends, your vacation friends, like, but are those your... the raw and real friends. I think that's what guys need is that raw, real, you know, friend, that person, like no matter what you could talk to about anything and they're not going to clown you for being soft or, you know, they're not going to clown you because, oh, dude, just get over the shit. You know, I know he's one of my best friends and we went through a divorce together, like lived down the hall in the same apartment. And wow. I knew him because I was, you know, I knew his brother. I was best friends with his brother. And I just through knowing his brother, I knew him. But I was so fucking bad. I remember when his name is Matt. He'll probably watch this and give me the finger later. But I remember he had called and he was just like, dude, my wife's leaving me. And he's crying like he's in touch with his shit. And I'm like, stop being a pussy. Ha ha, you're a bitch, you're crying. And 2 days later, I call him. I'm like, bro, my wife's leaving me. He's like, ha, bitch. Oh, and it was so bad because he had called me and he was like, I found this dope apartment in Middletown and they have one that's like 8 square feet bigger. And that's big in a little fucking apartment. I'm like, dude, cool. Let me go see if we got one available. And I went and got that apartment he was looking at like within a half hour, bro. And I'm like, bro, got it. And we ended up like, you know, living like there was me, a guy who was sadder than both of us and us. It was like a suicide fucking ward, right? It just, we weren't high enough where anyone was jumping. Like when they're like, you go on the fifth floor because you'll survive that. We're not going to have any jumpers in this fucking building. but I think it gave us like, we were able to, like, he was that guy I could go down the hall and talk to about fucking anything, right? And I am super blessed to have those friends. And they know who they are. They, you know, like, it, you know, but it's nice to know that, like, if I have some time, I don't have to worry about offending anyone. I'm just going to go and, this is who, you know, this is who I could go spend my time with. You know, so it's, I think it's something that people should invest time in, kind of do an audit. I'm a big into auditing things in your life. And I think that's one thing we all should start with is know your time is the most valuable thing. And part of that time is, yes, your family, but most importantly, your friends. And like, who are your actual friends, right? Like, who are your floors? Who are your doors? And who are your windows? And it's not a bad thing to have a conversation with your friends, or just that you don't got to tell them, hey, dude, you're a fucking door. Your friend might say, what?
Let me ask you this. Do you have a part of the house? You ever met somebody and you want to be friends with that person and you're like making like max effort to do that, and they're not necessarily, I mean, they're reciprocating, but not at the pace you're looking for. What would you call somebody like that?
It's probably a window, to be honest with you. And then that window could become a door, and that door could become a floor. But I think that goes back again to if that person is treating you as an option and not a priority, like that's not on them either, right? Like that's on you, right? Because they may say, they may not look at you like, hey, I want to be best friends with Joe, right? They don't, you know, they may just say, hey, it's cool. We can hang out, have a beer every once in a while. I'll touch base. You're a cool dude to hang with every once in a blue moon. And in my head, I'm like, dude, I'm going to be, I'm guilty of that, dude. I want to be best friends with fucking everybody. I'm like a fucking lap dog. I'm not going to sit on your lap, but everyone I'm around, they're like, dude, you talk to everybody. And like, I'm just like, dude, I come home. My wife will probably tell you, I probably come home 10 times a week. Yo, I better met somebody, dude. We're going to be besties. Yo, we're going to be best fucking friends. I got best friends. And then it's like a fucking balloon that just lets out air. That, but it might be me too, because I'm a bit much. I'm a tough guy to get in that 200 hours with. I will tell you right now, that 200 hours is going to be the longest fucking... David Goggins ain't got nothing on me, bro. Fucking 200 hours. So I think then people will take it personally. I think, and that's the problem. Like, there's something wrong with me. Nothing it would do with you. It's really, you don't know what that other person wants. So I think it's okay. It makes it much better when you're aware of, okay, this person may be that window, right? Or this person, I think the biggest group, like for me, I think is doors, right? Like, I think that's going to be the bulk of your friendships, which are good because it's, you got people who are good at certain things. And that's the way I look at it. I don't say, well, this person wasn't here when I was going through my divorce. Well, maybe they weren't equipped to, right? Like, I had friends that couldn't relate to what I was going through, right? And I was that person when I had friends going through a divorce. I'm like, bro, suck it up. She don't want to be with you. Like, what the fuck, dude? There's a million girls out there. Let's go get it. Right. Yeah. And then when I go through a divorce, I'm a weeping fucking willow, dude. I fucking got Adele steady on my fucking playlist, bro. I had like a fucking Adele, Chris Stapleton, and I'm a hip hop guy, bro. I almost went Taylor Swift, crazy. It was bad, but
you're really in touch with your feelings when you're jamming out some
T-Swift. You're just, you have your divorce playlist. You get like that, what's that guy, Calum Scott? Dude, that's me and my buddy's go-to. That comes out, bro. We're standing in the corner by ourselves. But I think, that just got carried away. But but I remember, I had friends during that period that I don't necessarily talk to all that much now. But then, if you would have asked me, I would have said, hey, these guys are my floor, right? If you would have asked me, this crew, male or female, these people are my floor. But now that I look back, they were a door. They were in and out, but they were there for a reason. And I think that's the best way to assess your friendships. It's okay for them to come and go, and allow them to do that, because it's, once again, it has nothing to do with you. It's just usually the people aren't equipped to deal with what you're going through. And sometimes you just don't need them in that particular spot or that season of the year.
Right. So I met this dude like a year and a half ago, and we met through work, but he didn't work there. He was sort of like a third party vendor, I guess would be the best way to describe this. And there was some smoking. That's how we first sort of connected. Yep. And then, you know, as we were talking, a lot of our views lined up a lot, and then we found out we were both big boxing fans. Like, oh, we should, you know, we should go do this. We should go check this out. This guy, and he's a great dude. I really like this guy. I don't know if he doesn't believe me because I don't have a lot of time.
Yep.
And this is a dude that hits me up often. It just hit me up a little bit earlier, accusing me of ghosting him. And it's like, bro, I haven't had 5 minutes today to respond to a text. What you want right now is not that, it's not that important. And I feel bad because I'm like, I know this dude values my friendship and I appreciate that. He's a very needy friend. And there's going to be, and look, I don't mean that even in a negative
way. No, but, like, but you have those. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, if I had the time, bro, I call you right now and we would bullshit for like 2 hours, but I'm in the middle of 8 things right now and I can't. I guess here's sort of what I'm saying. I think this is one of those things where people have expectations in a friendship, right? And some people are not as okay with the in and out, the people that are in the door, out the door. Yeah. And I've never been that way. I'm the kind of guy where I have a lot of friends where haven't talked in a while. Again, pick up the phone and we'll hang out tomorrow like that. That, and it would be super cool and fun. They have lives. A lot of my friends now obviously are, you know, I'm sure you have the same situation where they have families.
Correct.
And as the kids are getting older too now the kids have lives and they're managing the kids' lives and the kids' extracurriculars and everything that goes along with that. People have less time. And it's like you try to make time for the people that are important to you, which is, and you hope that you're included when those people like, hey, let's all get together. You don't want to be the one left out of that, right? But I think being able to have the kind of relationships that can just sort of sit there and simmer, they're fine. You don't need to tend to that thing every 5 minutes and stir it. You know, that's my favorite kind of friendship. The one where when the situation is right, I can call on that person. And if it's been a week, 6 months or a year, it's like, oh, dude, yeah, I'm down for tonight. Let's go.
And that's the floor friend, though, right? Like, so I don't want people getting confused that it's like your floor friends you got to spend all this time with, right? Like, it's your friendship is not measured by the hours you're logging, right? No. The steps you're fucking taking together, right? Like, it is over time, right? You're not going to, you know, fucking, like, if, like, for me, for example, I went to, like, a hat store in New Haven, right? I like to wear these big fucking hats, look like Cam Newton, but I'm clearly not Cam Newton. So being a fucking white guy, I walk into the store, I'm a little self-conscious, right? I'm like, you know, I don't know if I can pull this fucking thing off, right? And sure shit, there's a dude there, and he's like, bro, it's not the hat, it's the person who makes the hat. And I'm like, dude, this guy's my fucking spirit animal. I literally, like, 2 days later, I'm out with his wife and dinner in fucking New Haven. And I'm like, yo, I'm back at him. We're going to be fucking best friends. No. Like, every once in a while, like, pop in, whatever. Right. But I didn't. And it happened because you didn't get those steps. You didn't get those hours for whatever reason. And it's not a bad thing. That's just life. But those good friends, if you look back, you're going to say, listen, I had 200 hours with these people over a stretch of my life, right? So now I can go 6 months without seeing the dude and pick up where I left off. Those are your floor friends. It's not about, like, the time now. And I think that's where people get hurt, right? Like, that's where people are like, oh man, we used to spend every weekend together, or we used to do shit every Thursday. But dude, we're 44, right? A lot of my friends are 35, 36. They have babies. They have kids. Like me now, I'm running around with sports, right? Like, you got 75 cats and kids and, like, dogs you don't even know you have, right? They just fucking, holy shit, new pet, right? Like, people stealing your ham sandwiches, right? Like, we don't have all that time, and that's okay, but you have to understand that. And I think also, too, going back to, you know, your friend who's like, listen, you're ghosting me. I think it's okay for you to be comfortable enough to say, listen, this is the type of friend for me, right? Like he may be trying to get you to be a floor friend. Maybe that happens someday, but it's okay to say, hey, listen, it's, when I have the time, definitely gonna reach out to this dude. But like, yeah. I'm not gonna force this, right? Like, we have those friends that are options, right? Like, that's just the reality of it. That's why you have these categories of friends. But to be comfortable enough to say it to yourself, you don't want to say it to your friend, right? Like, right. No one's be like, bro, you're an option. Like, I'll fucking get to you when I get to you. Like, it's kind of a dick thing to say. I mean, that's aggressive, but I think it's okay for people to evaluate it and know, all right, like, this is what I want. This is what I want out of my friendships. This is the time I have. And now let me look at my friendship pie and say, okay, this is what I want to spend most of my time with. Because those four friends are going to be your fun friends, right? But they're also going to be your ride or dies. Like, they're your steady eddies, right? Like, you know, and sometimes you need that door friend that, like, yo, I'm going to go wild tonight, casino, door friend. This guy is good for that, right? But I think that it's an evaluation that everybody needs to do. And maybe even like you have friends, and I think it even goes into family members, to be honest with you. I think we get so caught up in, well, this is my aunt, or this is my mom, or these are my dad, and these labels instead of relationships, right? Like, and that's why people throw friend around so much, but not instead of thinking about the relationship. And if you actually thought about the relationship, would that be your friend, right? Like, you know, me, for example, I haven't talked to my dad and 2 years for a variety of reasons, which we'll probably get into later. And people are like, well, that's your father. You should talk to him. And yes, by label, he's my father. Grew up, he was a great dad to me. Things fell off, but I don't look at it now as like I'm missing a father figure, because I have those relationships in my life where no one's gonna replace my biological dad, but like the relationship aspect of it, I have that, right? So I think that's, you know, if you're looking at any relationship in your life, it's don't define it by the title, whether it's friend, family member, define it by your actual relationship and time. Like, would you want to spend 200 hours with that person? That's what I do. Like, if I can sit back and say, hey, you know what? I want to spend 200 hours with Joe, then boom, you know, we're going to put in the time. Right. And sometimes you see someone like, you know what? I probably would like to spend 100 hours with that person, or 40 hours, or 7 minutes, right? Like, the 7 minute guy's a douchebag. Like, you gotta be a real douche for me to want to spend 7 minutes. But I think, like, if you're looking at, do I want to spend 40 hours? Could I do that? All right. Yeah. It would be kind of that window friend, right? The 100 hours, that's that door friend. That 200 hours that, like, you're just gonna sit there forever with that dude, that's gonna be your floor friends, right? And it's okay to say that out loud.
Yeah. So my brother and I, my older brother, always had a weird relationship, okay? I noticed just a few years back, there was something I noticed about my favorite sports teams as a kid, the Yankees, the New York Giants, and the New York Knicks.
I got to go, bro. Like, I can't. I don't even want this conversation. We would not have hung out. You would have been the 40-hour fucking person in my life back then.
So guess what? My brother's favorite teams, the Cowboys, the Mets, and the Celtics. And it didn't occur to me until much later in my life when I was like, he picked the arch rival
on purpose
to all of the teams that I liked. He wasn't even a big sports fan, but those were the teams he followed. Those were the teams he liked. And It's like, he picked those to sort of get at me. Like, that's 100%. Crazy. Yeah. And so we went about 4 or 5 years. I also, he was married to he's still married to a person who I hate. I've tried, and
you said still married, right?
Yeah, still married. It's funny. One of the last times my brother and I had talked, we're talking currently, we've been talking for about a year now, but for the previous 4 years, we weren't talking at all, because the last thing I said to him was, if you ever want to leave your wife, you're welcome to come crash at my place. And I was really hoping he would, and he decided he loved his wife and stayed with her. But all through the silent period, my dad, who's a wonderful fella, 70, 75 years old, my dad said, he's your brother. Give him a call. Why? I don't want to. I don't enjoy spending time with him, and especially with his wife. Why you want me to subject myself to like this energy I don't like and don't want to be around? Because as you said, with the labels, like, that's your brother. I don't care. You know, I had a heart attack last year. You know, obviously a lot of people reached out at that time, including my brother. And we've steadily been talking for the last year. I think the idea of me dying, my brother probably thought to himself, we haven't spent 200 hours together in our entire lives. Maybe now's the time. And so, you know, we've got the best relationship we've ever had.
Yep.
And it's a dude, I mean, I grew up with. I mean, we shared a room for like 12 years. And it's funny, when I talk to him, I still wouldn't rely on him for anything. We haven't gotten to that point where, because this dude let me down a lot.
So is he, if we're going to look at the like categories, is he a window guy right now?
Yes.
He's a window guy, right? But, you know, maybe with time he becomes that door, or maybe not. Like, me, it might be like too much, but it sounds like you're happy with him being the window right now.
I'll put it to you like this. I mean, he's my brother. I've never felt any, because like you said before with the labels, I'd be curious when we get into the story about you and your dad and whatever happened there. I just, again, to me, it's like people who want to be with me and spend time with me and bring me into their lives, they're not my blood. But what does it matter? I value those relationships a lot, and I put time and effort into those because of that.
And I think that's you hit the nail on the head, right? Like, so I got a sister 4 years younger. We've had our, hey, we don't talk, we talk, like, we're super close. Like, even when we didn't talk, she's my sister, and it wasn't just because she's my sister. It's just that was our relationship. There was never been a time where like we could have had the not talk for a year, but she could have called me and big brother's coming and vice versa. But my family dynamic is very unique in that my grandmother had 16 kids, 8 boys, 8 girls.
Okay.
But yeah. Big old family. And my sister was like the 9th sister to these ladies, just given the age, dynamic. And I was super close to both my mom's side and my dad's side, but I learned at a young age, I kept everyone kind of for who they are, right? Like, I'm at an arm's distance, like, their family. I love my family. I like all the dynamic personalities, but I'm not a brother or not a sister, where my sister was really like, it just, she had the picture of, this is what family's supposed to be. No matter what happened, this is what family is. Like, you know, whether they talk shit about you, like, they didn't approve me, I'm gonna go above and beyond. I'm making them the priority, even though I may be an option. And it all came to, and it's been like this for, I mean, my sister's 40 since she's been born. And I've always been the guy that, even since I was a kid, you cross me, I'm writing you off. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, no matter what, you get one shot with me and I'm like, I'm out, right? I take you for who you are. I read people right away, and it is what it is. But it all came to a head where me and my dad are not talking. And then he goes after my sister because he knows he can't get to me, right? So he's going to get after my sister. And my sister's having a tough time there. She was daddy's girl, right? That was in her head. And so my sister gets married to this great guy. It's her second marriage. And the family has a meeting. And basically, there was an ultimatum put out. You go to my sister's wedding, you're not part of the family.
Wow.
I think my sister probably got like 40 declines. Right. So I had a wedding when no Provenzano was there. But I will tell you, the best thing that came out of it, she saw what I had been seeing for years.
Yeah.
Right. She finally realized it's the labels of aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, all of this stuff are just labels. What you look at is the relationships. Right. And it doesn't have to be blood. Right. It just doesn't. Like, it's not about, well, that's my blood relative, yes, you're always going to be my relative by blood. But like, I have family that doesn't have my last name because of the relationships. Right. And it took her a long time to get there. But I will tell you, she is so much better off as a person realizing that. And that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, right? Like, it doesn't feel good not to have a relationship with your dad or your brother or anyone in your family. Like, no one ever wants that. But it's okay to make yourself the number one priority, right? And to be comfortable with the relationships you're curating in your house. And to say, okay, it's okay for my brother to be the window, right? I mean, who wouldn't want like a big brother to be best friends with, right? Like, come on. Like, if you're thinking you're writing a fucking story out, but you know what? Sometimes that's just not in the cards. And it's the fact that you guys are talking now, like, is a big step, right? Like, and you're like, it is what it is. He's the window person, but and I'm fine with that. It's better than having nothing at this point. But yeah, like, I think acknowledging what that friend's value brings to you, your life, that intrinsic value, not like you could say, I have a friend, but the value they add to you.
Yeah. The interesting thing with my brother is if he wasn't my brother, I wouldn't be talking to him now. There would, right? Because he's blood, because he's my brother, and because he reached out and we sort of reconnected, the only reason he's getting a shot, because I'm like you.
Yeah.
You fucked me once. I one of my favorite things to do on this planet is to literally block somebody out of my entire life. Just to block you on every platform. Filter out your emails, block your text, like, you're done and I'll never talk to you again. And that makes me feel good. And I know that probably hurts that person. And that's how I get back at them. I've never been a retread guy.
Yeah.
My first ever girlfriend, we broke up in high school and then we dated for a little bit in college. And I realized then, terrible idea, right? This relationship was bad in the first place. It wasn't going to get any better.
The sequel is never better than the first unless it's Top Gun 2.
There you go. So, again, if my brother wasn't my brother, he would have texted me, hey, you know, I heard you're in the hospital. I hope you're all right. And I probably wouldn't even have responded. The fact that he was but I guess my point is, I think people who are blood related probably have the advantage, right? It's like, I don't owe you a relationship. I don't owe you friendship, but as you're born and you're hanging around the cousins and the aunts and the
uncles,
they have an opportunity to be close to you. And I know a lot of people super close to their cousins. And I love that. I really do. I'm jealous of people that are like that. I have four children. My oldest is 22. And the idea of spending holidays with my brother's wife, I didn't enjoy it before I had kids. Then I had little kids and we used to go there. And then I remember just thinking, I hate spending time with her. Why would I make my kids do this too? Well, ultimately is what ended up ending our relationship.
Well, it's protecting your happiness, right? And so I'll just tell you, like, just a quick background, because it's right in line with your brother and his wife. So I was getting married, right, to my lovely wife, and we're having a surprise wedding at my house. So we're doing a little housewarming party, inviting like 20 people. Everyone thinks it's like a barbecue, and we're flipping it into a wedding, right? So that's kind of how we got married. Well, that's how we got married. Wow. I hope we got married. It'd be weird. So, you know, my mom's coming. My mom's a handful of person. She's like 4'2" and could smash a beer bottle on your head if she gets a little frisky. She's French, you know, you never can really trust those like Canadian French people. So I'm on the phone with my pops and it's crazy because like I was always pretty close with my dad, like especially growing up. Like my dad did all the baseball, tennis, did all the dad shit, worked three jobs, like instilled that hard work, like fucking provided for the family. Lousy husband. My mom wasn't a great wife either, but great parents, right? Like, you know, whatever. So I'm on the phone. My dad is engaged to the woman across the street. meaning that like right directly across the street from where we grew up, she was the other lady, right? Like, you know, not, yeah, yeah, it's a bit awkward, right? So anyways, and I'm like, well, my mom's coming. I'm like, yo, pops, like, this is what's going down. Wants you to come, but can't bring fucking Margaret. I'll say her name because I don't fucking like the bitch. Right. And he ain't gonna watch this. Yeah, she don't like me either. We'll tell the story. I got some crazy stories about her. But anyways, so I didn't say it like that, but I'm like, listen, like, my mom's coming. Like, out of respect for my mom, I want you to be there, but you gotta bring her, you gotta leave her home. Like, and this lady's been at my house. I'm not a big fan of her. I've told her that, like, for a variety of reasons. But hey, if that's my dad's girl and he wants to bring over, fine, I'm gonna tolerate it, but not on this fucking night. Like, this night, I'm protecting my happiness. So he's like, that's fucked up, all this stuff. And I'm like, it's my house, my rules, which one is the best thing you could say to a parent. I've been waiting 40 something fucking years to say that fucking line. Right. But I'm like, listen, like, it's about me being happy, enjoying my fucking night. And like, out of respect, like, if he would have just said, hey, I understand I'm not coming for these reasons, cool, we could have that disagreement, I'm going to be fine. Dude, no show, fucking no show. Like, he was in Cromwell that morning. Fucking never talk to him again, ever. Wow. Fucking yeah, ever. Yeah. But it was not. No, and I'm not the guy who's gonna reach out. Like it's just not like, you said your piece. This is what you did after all this shit went down, and I don't need to go into it. But it was that I'm protecting my happiness. Like, you know, like, so okay, you're with this person. I don't have to have a relationship with that person to have a relationship with you. If you want to make it that way, that is fine. But I was comfortable enough in my belief of, like, my house is like my haven, right? Like, I protect my happiness at all costs, and there's only so many people I can allow in my house before that I can't keep that fucking happiness anymore. I can't control that. And it's okay, like, it's okay to say, you know what, I'm not going to that Christmas party because I don't like my brother's wife, right? Because yeah. I only have so many Christmases with my kids.
Right.
Right. Like, we don't have an infinite number of fucking get togethers. So, you know, and you could only hope that the other person on the other side of that understands it. And it does. You have to acknowledge, yes, that may hurt that person. And if you can't understand that, then you're just an asshole of a human being. Like, I know my dad would be mad, but, you know, in my head, it's like, well, like, you're my dad, right? Like, you got to respect my relationships and what I'm trying to build. Like, me, I going through my divorce, I can't ask my dad for advice on how to handle the fucking divorce. Like, you filed for divorce 6 months before my first wedding. Like, it's a little fucking weird. You waited 30 years. You couldn't hang out a couple more fucking months. But right. But I didn't need my dad for that, right? Like, I didn't need I didn't need my parents for advice. A lot that just wasn't our relationship. Even when I was growing up, like, kind of figured shit out. But to realize that, okay, he's my dad, but he doesn't want that relationship. We don't have that relationship. I think that was the tough part, realizing that your dad is a window, right? Like, that's a tough one, you know? Like, I think that was the toughest part of it, is realizing that, like, sometimes you think you have that floor, right? Like, and it's not even a door, it's a fucking window. But to keep trying to force it. And that's where my sister went through with, you know, a lot of these people were doors or windows, and she thought they were all the floor. And then she realized, you know, it's not. But once you realize it, shit's a lot easier. It's a lot simpler in life, because then you're just projecting your happiness, right? You know, I just thought it was like an interesting conversation to have in this day and age. You know, I hope it's helpful to, like, for people listening, you know, they, you know, you could leave this podcast and just sit back and think, be like, you know what, let me go through my cell phone. Let me go through my contacts. Like, how many, like, I probably have 800 numbers in there. Like, and if like a contact list and a cell phone could collect dust, like, 90% of that shit would be fucking 8 inches, like, thick, right? Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. And it's just, you know, I started doing last week was just paring down my contact list, like watching a football game. And I'm just like, it's almost like unsubscribing to emails. That's what I, you know, right? Like, yeah. you're just unsubscribing to friendships. I just thought of that. And that sounds fucking great, dude.
Like, that's the name of this episode. Unsubscribing
to friendships, dude. That is, damn, man, I gotta retype my name in here.
You're so funny.
You know, but yeah, I think it's something that it doesn't a lot. I'm having trouble talking, but I think it's a good thing to think about, and it's almost like cleaning out like that closet. Just like, all right, let me get rid of some shit. It's not physical shit, but it's that mental shit that sometimes weighs on you, right? Like, and then the other thing is sometimes just send a hi text to people, right? Hey, hope all is well, and leave it alone, right? Because we don't do that enough either. I went through a thing, I did for maybe like 6 months. I would text someone new every day, hope all is well. Just like whoever just like pop in mind. But then once again, I became a fucking window and just stopped doing it because we get busy, which is okay. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good topic to discuss. You know, I think that goes right in line with the change of plans, right? Like, take a look at those friends. And sometimes, you know, you thought you had this one plan with this one friend, you thought that friend was a floor and that person's a window. Right. And then you're able to decide, do I want to make them a priority or do I want to make the people who are actually my floor my priority because I have such limited fucking time?
It's funny you say that. I do the same thing, the periodic clear the contacts list. And you start going through and you're like, oh my God, I remember hanging out with this person like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What happened? You don't even say, sometimes you don't even know what happened. It's just like, oh, and then we just,
yeah, like sometimes like nothing happened, and that's okay. Like it was good for what it was, right? Like it's you know that girl in college. Like it was good, but then it just fizzled out. Like and it's okay. Like for people to have to try to force these relationships, like, but it's also okay to say, hey, I'm just checking in. Hope all is well, and keep it moving. But I think you know cleaning the contact list it's nice. It's like getting rid of luggage, you know, just that shit in the attic that just sits there all fucking day. And you go up there and rage out because your attic's too small. And then you yell at your wife and then you want to burn your house. I mean, that was my life. Never mind. That shit was yesterday. Ugh.
Funny thing, my last thought of this is something else that you said. You talked about, you know, again, kind of laying the law down to your dad, to my house, my rules. And I remember, I want to say this was probably about 5 years ago. My mom's very controlling and has her thumb on my other siblings. They all fall in line. I do not. I'm not a fall in line kind of guy. And she was trying to get me to fall in line. We were having a discussion at my house. And I told her, I don't do what you say. It's not how this works. And if you don't like my whatever, then you can go. And my father stood up. You will not talk to your mother that way. I was like, this is my house. Take this fucking lady and get the fuck out. Okay. That's mean. That's a mean way to speak to your father. I understand that. But I got to tell you, it changed the fucking relationship for the better.
Yeah.
I laid down the law. This is my house. And, we didn't talk for a few weeks there for sure. It was some hurt feelings. And the first few times after that, you know, if anything, especially politics came up, my dad was quick to look at my mom. Don't get him going. I'm like, dude, listen, this is my house. I'm the man here. I'm in charge of this place. Your house is different, but here we're going to play by my rules. Okay. Yeah. Cut the shit. Okay. I don't want to disrespect you guys like that, but you have to respect my authority here. You have to respect my sovereignty here. And I think that's super important for people. You got to lay down the law in your relationships. You know, there's a reason people get taken advantage of by people, and it's because you're putting more into the relationship than you're getting back. And I think kind of what you're saying, a reassessment of the relationships and friendships that you're in. am I getting back from this person what I'm putting in? And 100%. If the answer is no, and you're suddenly you're like, you think you're a floor or a door to somebody, and you're like, I'm a window. I'm a window, and I consider them a floor, but I'm not getting the support beams back on my end. Reevaluate those relationships. It'll be good for your mental health. And I gotta tell you, again, I feel bad saying that to my father. It was super empowering.
It is, and I think I tell people, go build your own house, create your own floors, create your own doors, and put in your own windows, right? Because now you're creating the house. You get to pick your floor, you get to pick your doors, and you get to pick your windows, and you need all of them to have the house. And that's the big thing too. Like, you need all of them. You need all of those people, but put your house together how you want to put your house together. And I think your life will be a little bit easier.
Yeah, for sure. Changeofplanct.com. That is the website. You can also find us on social media. Just type in Change of Plans CT. You could find us on all the different social medias. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. We are on all of the apps. You can also find us on YouTube and Facebook, where the videos are. But whatever you do, come by and hang out. Put your hours in and make friends with me and Vin. I think that's the key.
I fucking love it. I love it. Yeah. Dude. We had 200 hours with us. Let's see if we can do it. That's
200 hours.
That's your challenge for 2024.
Join the 200 club and let you and I bring you into our lives.
You get 200 hours, dude. We'll send you a t-shirt. And we'll be best friends by that time, according to me. So,
by the way, it's funny, at the top of the screen, it's got the on this program we're using to produce this. It says Change of Plans, and I, whenever I remind my, hey, you know, send Vin an email later, I refer to this podcast as COP, COP, Change of Plans.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
I also label them, and it so it says episode 1, 2, or 3 after it, right? Where this is our third episode, and I was, as you were talking before, and kind of laying out the strategy of life, I looked up, it's Change of Plans, Ep 3, and I suddenly looked at it, and I was like, cope. C-O-P-E, dude. Cope.
You know what? That's fitting.
That's how I'm going to shorthand it. It was COP, now it's cope, and it makes so much more sense.
Let's go with COPE too. COPE gives me a bad credit with my other clients. Can't fucking do COPE, bro. I will have no business tomorrow. Not zero. I mean, I like the cops, but just, hey, you know, I do other things for a living. That is great. I didn't catch that. Look at you.
It hit me. I'm literally, as you were talking, I kind of glanced up and I'm like, COPE.
Oh,
yeah. So anyway, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Again, chance for you to kind of evaluate things and like I said, you know, empower yourself, take the reins of these relationships. It is the key, as you say, to happiness is to find your happiness on your own. And then it makes you a much better friend, lover, whatever, you know. You can, if you love yourself and you're happy, you can do that for other people. And that's the thing I think everybody needs to understand. It's got to start with you.
Correct. You know, and we got to make yourself the number one priority, right? It's like being on a plane. Take care of yourself first and everything else falls into place.
Exactly. All right, that is it for episode 3 for Vin Provenzano. I am Joe Aguirre. We will catch you next time on the Change of Plans podcast.